Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning will be 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 15a. And if you'd like to follow along, you can find it in your Pew Bible on page 311. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. And at that place he came to a cave, and he spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus."
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke. It is the 8th chapter, verses 26 through 39. Let us listen anew to the stories that we know. They, being Jesus and all of his disciples, they came to the region of the Gennesarenes, which is opposite Galilee. Jesus was stepping from the boat when he was met by a person from the town who was possessed by demons. The demonic had not worn clothes in a long time and was homeless and living among the tombs instead. Seeing Jesus, the individual cried out and fell to his feet, shouting loudly, "What do you want of me, Jesus, only begotten of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torment me." Jesus was ordering the unclean spirit to come out of the person. The spirit had seized the demonic many times in the past, who then needed to be restrained with chains and shackles and kept under guard. Yet every time the possessed person would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the deserted places. "What is your name?" asked Jesus. "Legion," it replied, because many demons had entered that person. And they pleaded with Jesus not to be ordered from them, but and to depart into the abyss. Now at the same time, a large herd of pigs was feeding nearby on the hillside. The demons pleaded with Jesus to allow them to enter the swine, and he gave them permission. The demons left the person and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the hillside and straight into the lake and were drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran away to tell the story in town and throughout the countryside. The local residents came out to see what had happened, and as they approached Jesus, they also saw the exorcised person sitting at Jesus' feet, fully clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had witnessed it told the others how the possessed one had been made whole. I can talk today. Panic overcame the whole population of the region and the general recesses, and they asked Jesus to leave them. When Jesus had gotten into the boat to leave, the person who had been healed asked to go with him, but Jesus said, "No, go back home and tell everyone what God has done for you." So the one who had been made whole went off and proclaimed throughout the region what Jesus had accomplished. May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and pondering of God's holy word. So here we are again on another bright and sunny day with stories that we pretty well know. Elijah is the one I'm going to focus on this morning. Elijah is being called out of the cave. And yet, with many Bible stories, there's more than just one thing going on in this story. Elijah is being called out of the cave in the silence. In silence. After all of the chaos of the wind and the earthquake and the fire. Called out into the silence. And silence, for the most part, I'll speak for myself, but I think I've been in enough meetings, most people are not comfortable with silence. If it stretches on for any length of time, we start clearing our throats and and trying to do something, even in a meeting, if we don't want to use words. We do not like silence. There is so much noise in our world today. But in that brief 20 seconds of silence, you can hear the fans. You can hear the doorbell. Somebody has either come in or gone out. You can hear Sarah walking back and forth and the rustling of papers. Silence is never, ever truly complete. There is so much noise in our world today. And I'm going to be fully transparent that I wrote this yesterday before the last 16 hours of the news cycle started. So I will be plugging in a few things as we go. But all you got to do is turn on the news and hear the noise. Beyond the news itself, the hurt and the pain that is within those news cycles. And it really hurts my heart that in any news cycle on national news, you only get a feel-good story for the last 30 seconds of any broadcast. Why can't they start with a good story? Why can't the really good stories in the newspapers be on the front page above the fold instead of buried on page 10 under the fold? There is just so much noise in our world, in our daily lives. There is home. There is work, there is school, there are board meetings, there are doctor's appointments, there's worry about the parents, worry about our spouse, worry about our children. It's go here, be there, do this, start that, complete something else, a new birth, another funeral. So much to do that some days I think that we're all white rabbits just running around saying hello, goodbye. I have no time to stop, I gotta go. I'm in a rush. I'm late, I'm late, I'm late. Elijah, before this part of the story, is caught up in all of the noise of defending God. That is what Elijah's been out and doing. He has defeated 450 false prophets before this story this morning and really, really made Queen Jezebel angry by defeating her god, Baal. So he is running from the wrath of Jezebel. And in that, there are mighty winds and earthquakes and fires all around him. He is in being pursued. There is tension in Elijah's life. He is running. He is hiding for all that he is worth. Today's wind, today's earthquakes, today's fires, both literal and figuratively. There is gun violence, there is drug overdoses, there is war, there are more bombs being dropped, there are refugees that are being displaced, there is inflation, there is shrinkflation, there is climate change, and hurt going as far as violence and death because one person could not live or tolerate the difference of opinion on lawmaking. Where is God? Where is God when we feel so distraught in all of those places? Elijah certainly expected to find God in all of the noise and all of the chaos around him. He was defending God, and God should be right there beside him, showing themselves to him. The Bible story says that God was not there. It's not that God was not there. It's just that Elijah was so caught up in all that was going on around him, he could not feel, see, or hear God beside him. Because he was so caught up in running away and defending God. There's so much noise. Instead, God has to give Elijah the sound of silence to make the things so cacophonous that when it stops, it finally gets Elijah's attention. I think that we have all heard that silence many times in our lives. All of the synoptic gospels, Jesus silences the wind on the water. He silences the storms. He silences people in power. This morning's reading, he silences the demon. And I think he does it just simply by saying, "What's your name? What are you called?" In Job, we hear from chaos, there is then silence. And then Job sees God. Psalm 46 has the beautiful line, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know I am God. And in Isaiah, we hear, Isaiah 52, "God will silence the kings so that they may see what they have not seen before. They will see the people." And from that piece of scripture, Simon and Garfunkel give us the wonderful song, "The Sounds of Silence," where the last verse says, "And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god that they had made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And then the sign said, 'The words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, in tenement halls.' And they whispered the sounds of silence." We too need to hear those sounds of silence. We need to hear those sounds of silence to see the subway walls and the tenement halls of the oppressed, the vacant faces of those that are unhoused, the hesitant and faltering cries of those that are hungry. And that doesn't necessarily happen in the big city. It happens right here in Benzonia, right here in Benzie County. All we have to do is stop and listen. Because when we do that, We see and hear and feel and know that God is present with us. God is calling us to do something in those moments. And reluctantly, I want to add that we are just as stubborn as Elijah in our running around and running away and not wanting to see the past, not wanting to see past our storms. We'd rather go hide in the cave and say, I'm the last one standing and there's no one else around. We forget what Elijah learned. We forget that Elijah learned that the presence of God is not always obvious. Sometimes it takes the silence. Mother Teresa once stated, we need to find God, and he cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is the friend of silence. See how in nature, the trees, the flowers, the grass, they grow in silence. See the stars and the moon and the sun, they move in silence. We need silence to be able to touch souls. Hiding in a cave, God provides for Elijah again, not with what the ravens brought in the wadi, but with angels bringing him bread and water. The angels come and speak to him. You had better eat. The journey's going to be long. God provided for Elijah for the next 40 days and nights. What begins as flight from a tyrant soon becomes a journey to God, led by God. So does it take an earthquake for us to listen, to a fire, to a great wind? Yesterday, I will speak that around here in the morning specifically, there was a lot of conversation concerning those morning storms that we all encountered. The dark sky, the howling winds. And those winds were still blowing pretty fierce when I got down at 5:30 in Bear Lake. The winds were blowing. Driving in the morning, watching the lightning flash just off the treetops north on 31. All of us wondering with all of that storm, what's going to be the damage later? What are we going to have to encounter? I think that many of us have experienced some form of earthquake, literally or figuratively. I have been caught in those. I've been caught in the tornado warnings that happen in St. Louis that you wonder where you're supposed to go, especially in a great Gothic building that is full of plate glass everywhere, right? Those tornado warnings. We see destruction of wildfires to our west, floods to our south, the heat dome that is traveling across the United States right now and wondering how our beloveds are doing. Anywhere from Ohio to South Carolina, North Carolina. I have never thought that these were places where God was trying to get my attention. And perhaps that's a place where we can reflect at a time. How are those places where God is trying to get our attention out of all of our busyness, all of our running around and running away and hiding? When was the last time you heard sheer silence? The dead silence that happens in the eye of a hurricane as it passes over you? Once that first wall goes past, the silence inside that eye is eerie. After a major explosion, perhaps. Or maybe you've walked out of a really loud concert, your favorite band, and now all of a sudden you can't hear anything. Because of the silence, the absence of sound, that feeling as if something is wrong with your ears and the pressure is all off. This is what God had to use to get Elijah's attention, the vacuum, if you will. God tried the high winds and the earth shaking and the blazing fire, but it took complete silence to get Elijah's attention. I would like to put like a minute's worth of silence in here, but I get the message. It takes silence. As we look back on Elijah, he looked around at his desolation and presumed to think that he was the last faithful one standing. He cries out twice that he is all alone. He tells the angel, "I can't go on. I'm all alone. They have killed everyone else. I have been defending God so hard, and now I am alone." Later on in the story, we will find out that there are actually 7,000 more people that will stand with Elijah. Elisha will come to stand with him and will become his understudy, as a and then mentoring and companionship. How often do we think that we are all alone when there is a whole community out there waiting with us, for us, to be with us, to work with us, both individually and collectively? There are 7,000 plus ready. It should also be pointed out that Jesus was not a solitary person. From the very beginning, he chooses his disciples to walk with him. He invites other people along the way to travel, to be in company with. He could have gone it all alone and surrounded, but instead surrounds himself with community, the same community in which we are part of today. We are the followers, each one of us a disciple, a follower of Jesus, and we all have a vocation, and we all have a calling, and we all have something that we can do. And with things that we need to do in the world, no matter the challenges that we face, there are things that we need to do to bring about peace in this world. And it is a blessing that there are other voices to intervene, however powerful, however small, that call us back to who we are and whose we are and what we are about. So it's time to step up, and it's time to step out and step into the world, to the chaos and the silence, and know that God is always with us, today and every day. Amen.